迎收听午后女子会
Afternoon Girls Club，
我是雨洁，
我是舒雨。
我们现在在一个很特殊的环境下录音，就是希望大家听到我们的声音是清楚的，但是同时还是有听到后面的背景音场。
对，因为我们现在是在228公园里面聊天，而且不是只有我们两个人，
还有谁？
因为我们今天要来聊一些跟台北有关的故事，而且是用英文，那我们就觉得有一个来宾是这个主题的不二人选。
没错，所以我们欢迎生动台北的李欧。
Hello， 大家好，我是生动台北的李欧。Hello， 午后智慧的舒雨洁，大家好。
就像刚前面有提到，就是我们这次的集数呢是会用英文的方式呈现。
对，那主要呢我们会跟大家聊聊我们在台北的一些回忆，然后我们对于台北的看法，还有我们自己最喜欢的一些景点。
一样会有影片版本放在我们的 YouTube 上面，所以如果想要看中文字幕的朋友可以去 YouTube 搜寻午后女子会。
对，那我们在我们的 YouTube 频道上面也会放上算是幕后花絮，就是我们跟李欧在台北晃来晃去的一些小影片这样子。
对，大家就会知道我们准备这一集到底是多慌乱。
对，因为我们是第一次尝试在户外录音，所以也希望大家听得开心，也希望我们这次新的尝试。
就跟大家分享一下，我们那时候是约11点录音，然后现在时间是2点。中间发生了什么事情，就请大家可以去我们的 YouTube 看影片。
对。
Hello everyone, welcome back to Afternoon Girls Club.
I'm your host Andrea.
And I'm Julie.
Okay, so very happy that we are back to our English episode. And today we are joined by a very special guest.
Leo from Sound in Taipei.
Okay, so Leo, why don't you say hi to our listeners?
Hello guys, this is Leo from Sound in Taipei. And should I introduce myself?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.So basically, I was a walking tour guide in Taipei, and I basically take foreigners around in Taipei. I was also doing part-time in stand-up comedian bar, and right now I'm having my own podcast channel, which is Sound in Taipei. Basically, I interview storytellers inside the city of Taipei.
Okay, so if you love Taipei, you love history, you want to know more interesting things about this beautiful land, I think you might be very familiar with Leo's podcast.Okay, so what are we going to talk about today, Julie?
So today's topic is what we love about Taipei. And before we start a topic, I think we should just introduce how we met each other.
Okay.
So we met Leo at a swing class. Mm-hmm. Like, we really thank, like, shout out to Jason.
And Young from Sex
Chat Pod. Because of them, we met so many different podcasters in one special event about swing dance. So we met Leo at that event, and after the event, we went eating and we got to know each other more.
Yeah, and after that, we met a couple of times, and we think it might be a very good idea to talk about like what we love about Taipei. Since he knows so much about Taipei that I think I'm not qualified as a Taipei citizen. So do you think you know Taipei like very well?
Okay, I don't think I can meet people's expectation. You have such high expectation that make me so nervous right now. So yes, I was a tour guide, a walking tour guide for like half of year. So I wouldn't say I'm a really like expert on things in Taipei, but I can talk about some things, of course.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, so...We actually took a Taipei tour bus this morning because originally we planned to make our podcast on the bus, but actually it's not a perfect place to do it. So now we're in 228 Gong Yuan. Mm-hmm. Not sure how to say it in English.
228 Memorial Park.
Okay, thanks, okay. Leo. So we're in this park right now, and now I want to ask you to, how do you feel about the Taipei tour bus?
Well, honestly, I love it because I thought tour bus was going to be like not boring, but because I always fall asleep on a bus or on the MRT. So I thought this time it was going to be the same. But then I feel like because we were at the like a second story, so it was like you can really see a really different Taipei from a very brand new perspective.And I think that makes me really awake all the time when I was on a bus.
The Taipei tour bus is actually a rooftopless bus. Mm-hmm. So we sat on the second floor, second mm-hmm. story. You could actually feel the breeze while you're taking the bus. So I think it's a plus that it's really hard to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So how do you feel about the tour bus?
Just Andrea said, like, it's a brand new perspective to see Taipei. So basically, when we go out,in Taipei, we basically to window shopping, we go to watch movies, but be on tour bus is a brand new way to view Taipei. Especially you are on the second floor, you get to see how the sights is so different from the way you used to see.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, when I go to Taipei, because I live in New Taipei City, like, I usually just go to cafes or the places I need to go to. So I don't really spend time exploring the place that I lived in for, like, 20 plus years. And I think this is, like, the perfect chance to, like, reflect on myself and, like, to see, like, how little time I spend on the city that I love so much.
Yeah, I think beyond the tourist bus, it really just switch on my sightseeing mode that I feel like, oh my God, I'm having a vacation. Mm-hmm. And that's something I believe everybody do feel very sad about, because this year is not an easy year, and it's really hard to have that kind of relief to just like get off of your daily life. Mm-hmm. So I think taking a Taipei tour bus is definitely giving you a new feeling about this city, and it's a great relief to your daily life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to Andra and Julie, and there's a quote I really like. Like, the world needs traveler's eyes to redefine the world that we take for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's so different. Like, when we live in Taipei for such a long time, we get used to so much of things right now. So right now, we have another way to see Taipei, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. And this one special thing I wanted to mention when we were on the tour bus, that we met a woman on the bus. She was introducing things about Taipei, right? And I want to interview her. Mm-hmm. So I asked her for her Instagram, and she is so cool. And she's so cool. She said, like, after being a tour guide on the bus, like, her follower on Instagram has increased so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just saw that on her fan page. And so, like, she will be on my next episode.
Ooh.
And please look forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, definitely will. Like, she did such a good job, and she was like a very young woman. Can I say that?
I think she's like our age.
Yeah. So I was really surprised that someone at our age would decide to take that as a first job, because I think she must love the city so much, like, in order to choose that as like choose being a tour guide as the first job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think the interview is definitely going to be very fun.
Yeah. Exactly. A lot of like women like in your age, like, they would choose to be a flight attendant.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, she chose to be a like guide on a tour bus, on a city tour bus in Taipei, which is so different. Like, a lot of women will choose to be a flight attendant to see the world, to visit other places, but she chose to stay in Taiwan, which is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to know how she feel about that job.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I am more curious about you guys thinking about Taipei. Like, can you describe three things you love about Taipei?
Okay, so for me, the first thing is definitely the convenience. I live really far away from the city center. So then I think for me, within 1 hour, I can travel from my home to the crowded area in Taipei. So for me, the convenience is definitely a plus. And secondly, I think the diversity, because like the place I live is more like a rural area, so it's not that crowded and you can see a lot of beautiful scenery. And then like 30 minutes later, you can go to like a department store and go on a shopping spree. So for me, that diversity is something that I love very much. Yeah. And the third thing, I forgot, what did I put on the rundown?
The nightlife.
Oh, the nightlife. Oh, yeah. Well, because I think there are like so many cute bars in Taipei. I don't get to explore them as much as I should. But I think that's something that I would really love to like to pursue in the future. Yeah, I would love to go to more bars if I have the time.
I think like think of Taipei, most of the people have their first impression about Taipei is definitely their convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have MRT and we have such a complete public transportation map. So I really enjoy the convenience in Taipei, especially actually growing up in Taipei. We are known as not having a driver license at the proper age. What I'm saying proper age is like most of the people from the other city of Taiwan, they would have their driver's license like right after they turn 18 years old, which is our legal
driving age.
Driving age. Yes, but in Taipei, it is so convenient, so you don't actually need that kind of skill to survive in here.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that we constantly get made fun of. Yeah, we were like talking different emotions, but yeah, it's something that we're proud of, but also something that we're easy to get make like joke of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that's a privilege, or do you think that's just something that happens naturally?
I'll say depends on what perspective you're looking at, because for some other people, I would say it's a privilege, but to us, it is something that just we used to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's a privilege. Like, a lot of people make fun of it. Like, you're from Taipei, you don't know how to drive. That's what people say. That's what people joke about.
Uh-huh.
But like in college, if you want to have a girlfriend, you have to have a motorcycle license. You know, that's basically I share to all my foreigners friends. You know, like if you want to get a girl when you're in college, you have to at least have a motorcycle license.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? just one thing I share about like the motorcycle license.
Yeah.
Just one blind date, the kind of blind date people go to. Like uh-huh. a bunch of shy girls and bunch of shy guys who go to a blind date. And what they do is they draw the key. They draw the keychain, right? They draw the keychain, and you have to follow the guy on the motorcycle to a date.
Yeah.
That you also did that when you were in college, right?
No, I thought that would only happen like to our parents' generation. So that happens like now too?
Yeah.
Really?
In our freshman year.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard of that before.
Or maybe that's something...
Have you experienced that before?
Yeah, but like, I don't really like it.
So you did get on some guy's motorcycle?
No, the reason I don't like it is because they are planning to go on... We call it 夜冲,
mm-hmm.
which is like you riding a motorcycle to get up in a mountain and during like midnight,
mm-hmm.
which is like a really bad idea and super dangerous because everyone is like tired AF. Okay, so it's super dangerous and I just don't feel safe on it.
Mm-hmm.
So after that one time experience, I was like, nah, maybe no.
Mm-hmm. If a guy doesn't know how to ride a motorcycle, then he doesn't have a chance to even like get close to a bunch of girls.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mentioned, but I'm not sure like your guys in university is in Taipei, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what I say to the foreigners, I will make my keychain really cute.
Oh.
So when I make my keychain cute, I will like have higher chance to be selected.
Wow.
That's
dating 101.
Dating 101. Yeah, exactly.
What about you? What do you think about it?
Well, I don't think it's a privilege at all. I just think that's something happens naturally because I don't really need to drive a car or a motorcycle. So if I get a license at all, and I wouldn't have a chance to like ride a motor like in a city.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's useful for me. Mm-hmm. But like sometimes when I travel to, for example, Tainan, I will feel so uncomfortable because I need to walk everywhere, and I don't get a chance to ride like the share motorcycles like with my friends. So I don't think that's a privilege because that's actually a very useful skill.
Yeah.
So eventually, I think someday I would like to learn how to drive a car or a motorcycle at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the second thing you said is the diversity, right?
Yeah.
So my second point is I really like the variety of restaurants in Taipei.
Mm-hmm.
And I think besides other cities, we do have more foreign country cuisine in mm-hmm. Taipei. And they are really like authentic, I would say. So I really enjoy that. And I think it's because of the diversity of the city. So they are really willing for... I mean, as growing up in Taipei, you are really willing to just try some new things.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there's like a new restaurant open just down the corner of your house, then you gotta visit.
Okay, so what about Leo? Because you studied in a different place.
In Taichung.
Mm-hmm.
But diversity is one thing I will also mention. Because like I think Taiwanese people have the welcoming characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
Welcoming people from other cultures, cuisines, like restaurants from other cultures. And also not just on food, but also on religion.
Mm-hmm.
Just a special part in my tour that I will always mention about, which is around like the Xinsen Nanlu area. Okay, on that road used to be called the Heaven Road. And the reason the road is Heaven Road is because it has different religion on that specific road. For example, we have a Catholic church, and beside the Catholic church, just a Muslim mosque. And that's 15 meters away. That symbolizes like Taiwanese people are so welcoming of different culture and different perspectives. So diversity is one thing that I would really emphasize on. And that's the reason I started to do my channel, because the sounds in Taipei not just include the successful people in Taipei, the successful business in Taipei, but also I get to see different people in Taipei through their eyes. For example, the homeless people. For example, the foreign workers inside Taipei. For example, the high school students in Taipei. I get to see their Taipei in their eyes. So diversity is the thing I will always emphasize on.
Yeah, so I do agree on both sides. And I think that's like a very beautiful part about Taipei. I mean, like, there are so many problems. Like, in Taiwan, we still have a lot of, like, racial discrimination issues. But at least I think a lot of, like, citizens are very willing to try new dishes, new cuisines, and they're, like, very familiar with different cultures and religions. At least from my eyes, I think most of people are willing to accept that, like, different people deserve to live on one land.
Yeah. So alongside from the last topic, I think Taiwan in general, like, we have something that we're really proud of. It's night markets. And I think in Taipei's night markets, you could definitely find so many different dishes from different culture. So that is something that I found special from other cities, I would say. Because, like, in Tainan, you would just look out for their local food. But, like, in Taipei, you could try so many other dishes from other countries.
It's not to say like which is better, but I do think that it's something very beautiful about Taipei.
When we're mentioning about nightlife, I want to mention another tour like I bring the foreigners to, which is the Bob Crow tour.
Really?
Yeah. I basically take them to different bars inside the city of Taipei. There are really cool bars inside Taipei City. I'm not sure whether you guys have been there before, but there are bars that made out of a movie theater. They have a thing on movie theater theme, and they have different thing on bars that I take them to. In Taipei, you are so convenient because like you have the metro, like you get to stay
before
midnight. And it's easy to have a taxi and to ride you home, okay? So this one fun fact I want to talk about, the Bok Crow things. I will teach them how to say Ganbei in Taiwanese, how to say cheers in Taiwanese.
Even I don't know that.
I'm pretty sure you heard that before, like Kodala.
Oh, yeah.
How to,
Ganbei.
It's Hodala, right? Hodala. And we teach them in a really fun way. Like you have to say a whole dollar.
like a whole dollar.
But you have to say in a really racist way, like a whole dollar. And like when you take them to a bar, we always started with the whole dollar. Like with whole dollar and start our tour inside the bar. Which is fun. A lot of fun bars inside Taipei, and also night market as well. So night food, and not just market, but there are really good foods only opens at night, which is cool as well.
Can I recommend some like a specific place that I really love?
Yeah, sure.
I would like to recommend you guys go to Yongle Market, because usually people go there to visit Cheng Huang, and they go there to ask the god to find them a good partner. But for me, I think the most fascinating place is the market where you can buy cloth, because I personally really enjoy making my own clothes. So I think if you don't love sewing, it's okay. You can also go there to buy your backdrops for photo shooting, or you can buy cloth for the time when you need to go picnicking. Yeah, so it's a very fun place. You can just like spend hours there looking at beautiful cloths. Yeah, so that's one of my personal favorite places to go.
What about Leo?
So I have too many places to introduce. Since we are sitting at the 228 Memorial Park, why not just talk about the things in 228 Memorial Park? So every time when I lead the tour, I will always take them to the memorial statue over there and I'll talk about the 228 stories. And the reason I want to talk about 228 story, because I think like Taiwanese people need to know that, right? To know that if such things happen in Germany and other countries, people will always talk about it. However, our last generation, they were forbidden to talk about this topic. And I think it's one of our duties to introduce these kind of stories in our generations. So maybe I can talk a little bit about the stories. Is that too much?
No. perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, every time I will like take them to over there and talk about things happen on the year of 1947, okay, which is 2 years later after the Chinese government came into Taiwan. So a lot of people might not know, Taiwanese people was ruled by Japanese people for 50 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And Taiwanese people was treated like secondary citizens back then. They were not happy with the Japanese people. There was a lot of conflicts going on. And eventually, there was the Second World War, okay? And we all know that the Japanese lost the war. Mm-hmm. And Japanese people had no choice to give Taiwan back to China. Okay, so back then, there was the second time in the history that Taiwan was part of China. And then, when the Chinese government finally came to Taiwan, a lot of Taiwanese people was expecting the Chinese government to treat them well,
yeah.
treat them like brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. because in our blood, we are Chinese. We yeah. are Chinese. Like, we look alike, and we should be treated equally. However, things went so wrong. Okay, the Chinese people, when they arrived in Taiwan, what did they saw? They saw a bunch of people look exactly like Japanese. So remember, like when Chinese people, we have gone through 50 years of colonization, right?
Yeah.
So when Chinese people, when they arrived Taiwan, they was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? They look just like the enemies we have fought for more than 8 years.
Yeah.
So of course I will not treat you like brothers or sisters, okay? So when Chinese government came to Taiwan, Taiwanese people were also disappointed, mm-hmm. because the Chinese people just finished their wars. They were all wearing dirty shoes, rugged clothes. It was like, okay, this is not what we expected. However, the Chinese government took control, okay? They also treat Taiwanese people like secondary citizens. You know what? Taiwanese people had enough. Taiwanese people had enough. So at the year of 1947, okay, at the year of 1947, there was a widow selling cigarette on the street. Okay? Widow selling cigarette on the street, and two Chinese inspectors came over, and they saw a woman was selling cigarette on the street. They tried to stop the woman to sell the cigarette, because back then all the cigarette was authorized by the government. So they went toward the woman and say, "Hey, woman, things you are doing here is illegal. I should confiscate all your cigarettes and I should take away all your money." However, the widow begged the Chinese police not to take away the money because she had family to raise. Okay, not to take away the money, but you can take the cigarette, of course. And just like all the Chinese people did, they want to take advantage of the Taiwanese people. They insist on taking the money. So that day, people was like, so on that day, that situation, they started to have a little fight. And the crowd became bigger and bigger. People wanted to know what exactly happened on the street. Until one Chinese police became so nervous because the crowd was getting bigger and bigger. And he pulled out his pistol, shot it in the air, tried to quiet down the crowd. However, that bullet went terribly wrong into someone's chest. And someone died immediately on the ground.
Oh my God.
And if you were Chinese, if you were Taiwanese people back then, seeing all of this, like two Chinese police was trying to take advantage of the widow, eventually they killed someone on the streets. And that man was Taiwanese. People went outrageous. Taiwan people went outrageous. Like, we cannot tolerate Chinese government anymore. So the following day, they went all the way to the police station and had a big protest in front of the police station, asking the police station to hand over the criminal as well as giving people apology. However, hours of protest has gone on, and eventually the gate would open. But behind the bars, nor the apology, nor the criminal, was a bunch of machine guns shooting people relentlessly. So imagine you were the Taiwanese people back then, like you were protesting without any armor. And our own government, we should believe in, started to shoot our own people. And the people were so terrified, they ran into this park, we're sitting in this park, not knowing what to do. And one of the men say, "Hey, there's a radio station over there. we should broadcast them. We should take over the radio station and let the Taiwanese know about it. So they took over the radio station and broadcast it and let the whole nation know about it. And the following day, the Taiwanese people was outrageous and tons of protests starting on the streets. And back then, the authority of Taiwan was Chen Yi, okay? He called Chiang Kai-shek, which is the leader of KMT, he called Chiang Kai-shek to send troops to come into Taiwan, okay? And the following day, when the troops arrived in Taiwan, they started to shoot people wearing Japanese clothing, speaking Taiwanese. So tons of people died, okay? Tons of people died. And that's a really, really dark history happened in Taiwan. So every time when I come to the 228 Memorial Park, I would think about the dark history. And when I was a kid, I would think 228 is a day for day off. I should go and watch movies and hang out with girls, you know. But after being a walking tour guide, I think this is a really crucial history in Taiwan that everyone should admire and should remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that introduced people to come. And later on, I can take you guys to the statue over there and to talk about more things if you want.
Yeah. Oh my God. So people, if you're listening this right now, you guys hit a jetpack. Like, you have to pay for this content, okay? Mm-hmm. So I am so shook. I mean, I didn't know that much about this park or that part of history. So I don't know. It's a really weird feeling to say, to feel about this place.
So honestly, we learned that when we were at school. Mm-hmm. And then like on the textbook, it was like two paragraphs and some pictures and that was it. And then for me, it was just like a day. And then when you were telling the story, I was like, gosh, it was terrifying. And I was like, I was emotionally so unstable because I was so afraid. I didn't know why, but when you were describing the situation, I was like, a lot of people died because of this, but yet a lot of people were brave enough to like persisted. They were fighting something that was like so big. It seemed like nothing was going to change, but then people were still like fighting for a cause and for a belief that they trust.
Exactly. And we were talking about diversity, right? The reason why we have diversity in this city or in this country is because we are so welcoming. And the reason why we are so welcoming is because we are so free. And just as I mentioned, like we should redefine the things we take it for granted so long. So this part of like culture, this part of history happened in our past. So that's the reason we are so welcoming and so free right now. And a lot of Taiwanese people will not recognize that. And that's kind of sad for me, I would say, yes. So the reason why we are so chill and reason why we are so welcoming today is because of the history that happened in the past.
I mean, like after listening to the story, I will definitely change my point of view about this park. And because this park is known as a famous dating place for LGBTQI+ group. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know about the history of this place.
Yeah, can I add a little bit on that history if
yeah,
you
sure.
want? Yeah, because this 228 Park is right next to the presidential hall. So at night, there's a rumor saying that there's a secret tunnel, like from the presidential hall to this park. Okay, and this park used to be surrounded by big walls. So if anything happened, if anyone attacked the presidential hall, the president can use the secret tunnel to escape to this park and they can lock down the park immediately.
Oh.
So this park used to be surrounded by big walls and people cannot come in and people cannot see through what's going on in the park. However, there was a bunch of people who will climb over the park to date.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what kind of people, when they date, they don't want other people to see.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine like 40 and 50 years ago, there was a bunch of people like we were not too open-minded on LGBTQI+ people. So those people had no choice to come into this park and to secretly date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think nowadays people talk about it as something very interesting, but then I think back then it was because it was very socially suppressed and people had no choice but to come here and date. So like thinking about it deeply makes me think it's so important for young people or like people in general to know about like what happened in the past in order to cherish what we have right now, instead of like just blindly supporting the system that we have. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've talked about the past, and now I want to ask you two about the difference in Taipei, like the changes in Taipei. Mm-hmm. What do you think about it? Do you like it, or do you have different feelings about it? In my perspective, I have a really weird and complex feeling about the new buildings, specifically in the city. Because mm-hmm. when I was little, there's always some constructions going on. And growing up, like I realized that is part of our infrastructure plan, which is like the MRT and everything that just like help us to become a more international city, I would say. And in Taipei, we have so many beautiful old architecture that should be protected, but because of the development in the city, sometimes this kind of beautiful architecture is something that we would tend to sacrifice. It's very pitiful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if the new buildings are more aesthetically pleasing, then would you complain about it? Or do you think it's still very important to like preserve the old buildings?
I think preserve the old building is definitely a very important thing to do in Taipei, especially because as we just mentioned, we love the diversity in the city, and the diversity is built up based on the history we have. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely crucial to keep everything, the old building in the city, mm-hmm. to let people to understand the history of it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my point is kind of related to yours.
Yeah.
Because I said before, I love the diversity in Taipei, right? But then when you think about it, now the city has become so international. And when I like go on the streets, I can see like Korean style cafes or like Japanese restaurants. But then sometimes I wonder, is there something that's like very specific and special about Taipei that people can immediately think about? Like for me, it's kind of hard. When my group of friends think about, oh, where to go in Taipei, they would say, oh, let's go to this cafe. Like this is like so European. This is so American. But we don't really say, oh, we want to go here because this is so Taipei. Like, this brings me so many good memories because, like, I've lived here for so long. Sometimes I feel like I lack that kind of memories, and that makes me kind of sad.
Yeah, that's so true.
Okay, what about you, Leo?
Yeah, I would add something on Andrea's points because, like, when I was in Singapore for 1 month or something, I met a guy from Germany. He was about to go to Bali, and I was like, hey, Taiwan is also cool. Like, if you want to visit around Asia, like, Taiwan is a place that you definitely should visit. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, persuade me.
Oh, really?
Persuade me. Try to persuade me. And back then, my mind went blank. I didn't know what to say. Like, of course, like, good food, night market. And he was like, dude, like, there's good food in everywhere. There's mm-hmm. good food in everywhere. Like, just night market in Malaysia as well. Like, what's the point to go to Taiwan? And that kind of reminds me what Andrea said, that, like, how to define, like, Taiwanese culture, how to define, like, Taipei, mm-hmm. like, culture. What's the things that's so special in Taipei? I feel that's one of the duty for our generations. You know, like, we try to define our culture. We try to see what's special in us. For example, the gay parade that happened in every October. That is the biggest parade in Asia. Okay, biggest gay parade in Asia. And that's something really really worth mentioning, right? That's something really worth mentioning compared to other countries. That's only because, like, Taiwanese people are so welcoming and we're so open-minded, no matter on religion, no matter on what kind of thoughts, that we are so open-minded. And that's kind of things that we need to build on, that we need to build on. Though, like, Taipei is constantly changing, but we are growing, like, culturally. Like, we need to build on that culture part. Mm-hmm. That's why I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think of that. I would say I have encountered the same situation while we were abroad, mm-hmm. and meeting a bunch of people around the world, and they'll be like, I'm definitely going to find some time to visit Taiwan, but could you please describe what Taiwan is like, or what are you guys famous of? And all I could think of is like pineapple pie, mm-hmm. Good food, night market, friendly people. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not really a special cultural things that I could mention to persuade them to just like come and visit. We have something that really special that you have to see. So yeah, that's something that I feel really pitiful about the city and Taiwan especially. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. After meeting a lot of people, I realized that a lot of people actually know a lot about Taiwanese cultures, and mm-hmm. they know a lot of good places where you can understand the special part or the cultural parts about Taiwan. So it's just like sometimes I focus too much on the new things happening around the city, and I didn't really focus on the route that I have. And now that I travel to several countries, I realize, oh, that's actually something very important, because I want other people to also like my country, not just like focus on the food only, but like the cultural background of my country as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my last extra questions. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite Taiwanese cuisine?
Stinky tofu.
Oh, okay. What about you, Leo?
Oh, I would say pig blood.
Oh.
Pig blood. Yes, yeah, pig blood cake. Mm-hmm. Pig blood cake. It's because it's so special. It's so special because like when foreigners come to Taiwan, they want to know what's that. They want to know that that's one of the food we use to our in our ancient ceremony. And then we used to, that to praise to our gods. So we used to use like duck blood, but duck blood was too expensive. They decided to use pig blood. And it's so special, like when foreigners see the pig blood, they was like, oh my God, are you guys seriously eating this? So seeing their reaction on pig blood, and it's so fun. It's just so fun. And I also like personally like pig blood. So that's my favorite Taiwanese food.
Okay, what about you, Julie?
My favorite Taiwan food, it's called Dongshan Yatou. I'm not really sure how to translate it, but it's...
Duck
it's
head?
Duck head. Yeah, but it is not that terrified as it sounds like. It is duck head, but marinated in special spices to make it like a little bit sweet and salty flavor of it. And usually come by with a lot of other ingredients, mm-hmm. like tempura, tempura, and what else? Pig blood cake, mm-hmm. Stinky tofu sometimes. So I really like that cuisine, and I want to like recommend to people if you're visiting Taiwan.
Actually, I've never tried that before, and like whenever I hear that name, like I get very terrified. I mean,
because of the duck head, you don't have to eat the duck head to just taste the taste.
Oh, so
there's
I
like
can just...
other things like pig blood cake, or
oh,
it's like popcorn chicken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that there's
okay.
a lot of choices to choose.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so I learned something today. I thought I was brave enough, like when I said I like sticky tofu, but then
you said brave enough.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
You're like a Taiwanese. Brave? What are you
yeah.
talking about?
No. Actually, a lot of my friends hate stinky tofu so much they can't even smell it.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
They're from
Taiwan.
They're
not Taiwanese.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, do they like pig blood cake?
I think most of them can eat that. And stinky tofu, I think it's at another level because
oh, really?
It's like so stinky, they feel like nauseous when they smell that.
Okay.
I mean, when I was little, I really hate pig blood cake
mm-hmm.
because of coriander on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate coriander
oh,
so much. That is
too.
The only thing I couldn't bear with
mm-hmm.
in terms of food.
But there's different way to eat the pig blood cake.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
there's difference between the north part and the south
uh-huh.
part, how they eat like pig blood cake, and they will have a fight
yeah.
on how people eat the cake, and which is really fun too.
But how do northern people eat that?
I think usually steam it.
Yeah, steam it with the coriander and the peanut powder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the north people eat the pig blood cake.
Mm-hmm.
And however, people in the south part, they want it sliced and with sweet and sour sauce.
Oh.
They prefer it that way.
Okay, I prefer the southern part.
I mean, the food fight is definitely another topic that we could describe in Taiwan. Because, I mean, like, Taiwan is such a small place, but there's always a lot of fights between, like,
food
or people's tendency on doing things. And I think it's really interesting. I think it's really fun that hopefully someday we could make a topic on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you guys have any suggestions that you you want us to talk about, definitely leave a comment on Instagram, YouTube, or, you know, inbox us. And you can also, what else can they do?
They can follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, and tag us on your stories so that we can know how you feel about this episode.
Yeah, and also, where can we find you, Leo?
Okay, right now I am using my own account, which is Leo from Taiwan. You can follow me on Leo from Taiwan or go to Sounds in Taipei. In Chinese, 声动台北. 声是声音的声. Okay, so you can find my content on podcasts and on Instagrams.
Okay, so thanks for listening. We're now in a park. It's a really special experience, and we hope you like this episode.
Yeah, so next week we will see you guys in our regular Chinese episode. So that's it for today.
Student Girls Club,
dismissed!